Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. If we sound tired today, we are.
A little bit.
Do not tell me what the episode title is.
Do not tell you?
Not if I'm looking at what you have written down correctly.
Well, you had a different alternate title. What did you call it?
Disseminating information.
Right. What gamers love calling the info dump.
I don't particularly care for that term.
So a lot of GM's favorite games are usually based on something that they've seen in books, in movies, or TV shows. And so there's a lot of information about the world, the setting, the universe, depending on the genre of the game you're playing. And along with those kind of things, there is information that about the world that might be useful for the players to know. And even if they're, if it's not based on a TV show or something like that, it could be based on just the lore of the setting itself. Certain games have their own lore depending on what game it is. And some of it could be really formidable to for the player to understand what's going on. And there's a lot of background, there's a lot of information that the GM might find useful for the players to know.
So the GM wants to give all this information to the players.
Yes. You know, and I think it depends on the game, too. Like, if you're at a convention or you're, it's a one-shot, it's a different than a home campaign. But even then, you can take elements of this. How does the GM implement the giving out of information? Well, not bore the players with this long 30-minute speech about the world or the universe.
30 minutes is too long of speech. I'm just telling you right now.
Especially if you're like at a convention, right? Where you got, depending on the convention and the format that they have. If you have a 4-hour game, a half an hour is a big chunk of that 4 hours. Even if it was a little bit longer, let's say we know conventions here around the Bay Area, they have up to 8-hour games. And some people can even run longer games depending on what their idea is. Yeah, 30 minutes of you talking as a GM, trying to give out information, might be a bit much. Along with that idea of not boring your players right off the bat.
Which is a good thing, because you don't want your players ready to leave after 30 minutes.
So here's some ideas about how to convey information to the players and not bore them to death.
Yes.
Hopefully. So number one I have is players do not have to know everything about the world. They just have to know what their characters know or the main ideas of what the characters know about their world.
This topic is interesting to me because in most games that I play, I don't know everything about the world, even D&D, because what we play in,
Forgotten Realms.
I don't know all of the lore or all of the gods or anything like that, and I don't think you have to unless it applies to your character, right?
Yeah, and it could be interesting information, right? And it could be really cool information to the GM. But for the players, they may not need that information right off the bat. And I think it's better to, if you're especially in a long game or like in a home campaign, if that information is done over time, right? For the player and obviously the character. And like sometimes, especially in the fantasy world, characters may not know a lot about the world around them except for their immediate area around them.
Right. I think that this topic is comes about because a lot of times people do their own world building, their own creation of their their homebrew system, right? And they switch it, they don't want to use Forgotten Realms or whatever it is.
Right.
They want to just have their own thing, so they have that 45 minutes where they want to tell you the history that they've come up with, right?
Right. And you don't need to know the last 32,000 years of your world's history. So I think...
So I would suggest for those GMs that need to give out that information, put it on a piece of paper and hand it to them and say, when you have time, go ahead and read this.
Yeah. I think, for example, the world that I had not a problem with, but... It was an interesting world. It had a lot of history. Was Tecamel, Empire of the Pale Throne. I ran that at conventions, and so I had to do like a shortcut of a quick explanation of what the situation was for the players, and I used a lot of different tactics. Right, there was what I told them, and then I had them actively read stuff for themselves. But it was not just a piece of paper.
It was short. Right.
Right. It wasn't just a piece of paper, but they were like, remember, there were we used the wax things.
Yes, I remember.
I used the.
I got the burn to prove it.
I used the. I just folded a piece of paper and sealed them with wax, and I had handwritten notes asking them, you know, just to make a choice, and depending on a yes or no question, they would get another envelope which would give them more information depending on what choice they made on that first, and that's before we even started playing.
That was just for things to know, right?
Just things to know, or the attitude that the player had for their character, and I think that really got them, like, I hate to use the word, their juices flowing, right? The idea that they were excited about the game that was about to take place.
Yes,
and it worked, right? It worked in every situation that I ran it, which was 3 times. It worked each and every time, especially, you know, people were really invested in the decisions they had made. And because of that, I believe they were more invested in their characters. So they really, most of the players that played in those 3 games of mine, they were all very, invested in role-playing.
Did they know about Tecumal before they played?
There was a couple that had played it years and years before. So they knew about it and knew what a weird place it was, but I would say 95% of my players had never heard of it.
Okay.
Okay, so that was number one. Number two is characters' knowledge may be limited, right? The character themselves might be limited, so there's no need to tell them 32,000 years of history when they're in a village somewhere in the backwater area of whatever area you're talking about, whether it's where was Luke Skywalker?
Tatooine.
Whether it's on Tatooine or the backwater nation of some ancient fantasy world, right? So the characters themselves may not know very much, so there's no need to give them all this information. I used as an example. If you've read Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time series, the original characters are all from this little village. The Two Rivers, right? That's what they called it.
That's the area, yeah.
That's the area or the name of... Oh, it was Edmonds Field. That was the name of the town. And though they knew of a village, over, you know, a couple villages over called whatever it was, and they knew of a big city miles and miles away, they really didn't know anything else other than what...
People who had been there, I told them.
Right, like travelers, peddlers, people who had brought news. And it was funny because, like, they're supposedly part of this nation called...
Andor.
And it's a kingdom, or ruled by a queen or a king. And...
A queen. It's always ruled by a queen.
Well, there you go. And they didn't really consider themselves ruled by anybody, right? Because they hadn't seen anybody official for a couple generations, at least.
The excise man had not come to collect taxes.
The tax man had not come. So they, you know, after a while, do you really consider yourself part of an empire or a nation if you don't ever see anything close to that? I mean, imagine.
It depends on how many generations away it is.
Yes. So in that case, if you're in that kind of a setting, and let's say a lot of a lot of fantasy games start with, you're from a small village and you decide to leave the village to go adventure. So that character may not know a lot about what's going on. It makes sense. So there's not a reason to give that huge amount of that dissertation of information to the players at that time. And they'll learn as they go, right? They'll find out, oh, Baylan is this city of like 10,000, but it's not really a city. The big city is even, you know, with 100,000 people. And that's what happens in the book. As you go along, you learn just through the character's eyes at the same time. And they become more knowledgeable about stuff. So does the reader, I suppose. So number three, weird worlds or aliens may have real world examples. So like the one example, again, I'm using Tecumel, it's a world that has, like, I forget, thousands and thousands of years of history, and it's on an alien planet, so it's not going to have, can't have that familiar.
But you can give examples of things that are like.
Are it. Like, right. So what I did is I gave the example of, it's like a Mesoamerican motif, or the way everything looks like, and the society is caste system, kind of like Indian caste system, very rigid. And then on top of that, there is honor is very important to the people. And so therefore, I kind of include the like feudal Japan, the era of history. And you mix all those three together and you get a kind of an idea of what living in Tecumel is in a certain part of the world that the characters start off in. Or we're playing in.
I think it's easier if you are playing a game that is like an IP game, like Star Trek, right?
Oh yeah.
Because if everybody sitting at the table has watched Star Trek to any degree, except for Saul, and knows what's going on in Star Trek, then they have an idea about that world, right?
Yeah, I was going to talk about. I don't even know if I talked about it later, but yeah, then there's no reason to. Right, to explain the world if it's an IP that everybody knows, like Star Wars, Star Trek, there's anything you can think that's super popular. Twilight for certain people.
Okay.
If you already know, what do you call those? Urban fantasy or Dresden universe, right? Now, some people may or may not know about Dresden. You know, some people may have heard of it, may have read the books. There was even this TV series that lasted a whole season. And
I think that Supernatural is a better example because some people know the series and some people don't, right? Because when you ran it for the guys the first time, they hadn't watched it, so they did not know, they did not understand the universe.
Right, correct. Yes, that was a long time ago. I can't remember how long ago it was, but you're right. You know, depending on who you are, you may or may not know. I thought Supernatural was a pretty cool show. And they came out with a rule set from Margaret Weiss Productions came out with it. And it was based on at the time they called it the Cortex system. Now it's called the Cortex Classic system. And it was a real simple system. Some people like it, some people hate it. But what was interesting is I explained it was urban fantasy and they kind of got that, you know, that they're kind of monster hunting. But what they didn't get at the time was that they were kind of like not within the bounds of the law.
Right.
Because sometimes they would have to eliminate said monster.
You have to, otherwise they're going to destroy people
right.
in the towns or...
Depending, right? So sometimes, I don't know, there's a couple of times in the show that they actually let the bad guy or the monster...
Very rarely.
Let him go, right? But, and it might have come back to haunt him. But, for example, the players in this case didn't know about that, right? So when they got into it, kind of like they felt they were over their heads... They were like, let's just call the cops. And then, like, that's when you had it.
I had to intervene.
You had to intervene. And as Jolene started playing role-playing games, hasn't stopped since.
That's not true.
So, yeah. So, in that sense, it could be a popular IP or it may be something that's a little bit less popular. So, depending on that situation.
But if you're at a convention and they say they're going to run there's a Doctor Who game, the chances are the people that are going to show up to that game are going to know the Doctor Who universe
right,
to some extent, right?
Same thing with Supernatural, probably. And I was thinking, what else? Any type of show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doctor Who, not everybody knows who Doctor Who is.
But Star Wars.
Yeah. It's a little bit more popular or more hit. You know, more people know about it.
And most people have an idea of D&D, whether they know any of the lore or worlds or any of that stuff. They understand that it's a fantasy setting, right?
Right. So another idea is just to keep it simple. You don't have to explain a whole lot. The simpler, the better. And sometimes the shorter, the better, right? For players. Because a lot of times, if you start giving them a lot of information, players are just going to like yawn. Start looking at their watch, or in this case, their phone. Their phone these days. And they're just going to tune out. It is just that's just what's going to happen. So the simpler of the explanation of your situation or the world, the better. On the other hand, on the next one, is you can give a longer explanation or more information if, one, you are a good speaker, you know, can engage people and get their attention. And some people are just gifted that way. Or if you are...
You're really into the lore.
You're really into it, right?
Yeah.
And you're so into it that, like, people know that, man, this guy knows his stuff. Now, I kind of talked about this when I played in a role-playing game based on Lord of the Rings. And the GM and one of the players was, like, really into it, right? They knew about... They had read the Silmarillion, and they knew about all the stories. I have not read the Silmarillion. I know
almost... Because you like to stay awake?
I know almost next to nothing about all that's in that stuff. Another person like Bay, he also talks about the Silmarillion and the stories of this and that. And if you watch, what's his name, Corbett, he's really into it, right? I mean, he's really into it. Like, and it's when you come across people who are really into it like that, there's two things that can happen. One, they could totally turn you off. Or two, they're so knowledgeable and so intriguing that you kind of pay attention, right, to them, right? Like Stephen Colbert was talking to the guy who played the elf, the wood elf king. I forget his name. And the actor was speaking to him in Elvish. But which I didn't know, there's two Elvish languages, the Sindarin and something else. And so when the Elvish king said something, he goes, and he kind of mumbled the words a little bit because, you know, he hasn't played that role for a number of years. And then he kind of like laughed at himself because he kind of mumbled or messed up the words. He goes, well, I can understand that being as King Durandal, you're a certain wood elf. You're not the type of elf like, what's his name? The guy from Elrond. And so he goes off on his, like, the differences in the two elf languages. And, of course, I understand why you would mess up because that's not your native Elvish language. And I'm like, whoa. And this was just a little clip I saw on a video from, like, Facebook or Reels or whatever.
It's TikTok. True. It's the same. Remember when we walked into that Star Trek game? We didn't know what to expect. We were at Kublai Khan, I think. And the guy was like, he had out the models of the ship. Yeah. He had his little... action figures out.
The action figures, not the miniatures.
No, the big action figures. Like
the foot tall action figures.
And when we walked in, I was like, okay, this guy is really into Star Trek. Yes. And he's going to know everything about
it. Was he wearing his Star Trek uniform?
He might have been. I don't know.
So in that case, right, when people see that this person is really into and have a lot of knowledge, they might pay attention to them, right? They might like, oh, this guy.
Well, and it also depends on how gregarious they are, how much charisma they have, right?
Yeah, there's that too. Well, my friend David, he ran Blade Runner. And remember,
he's really good telling stories too.
Yeah, and it was funny because, like, I would not have gone to that depth. But I don't consider myself an expert. But David is, like, really into Blade Runner, right? And then so when he was talking to, he ran a Blade Runner game the same time I did at one of the conventions. And I came across one of his players that I know as a friend from going to conventions. And he goes, yeah, it was a toss between your game and this guy's game. I go, oh, yeah, it's my friend David. Oh, he goes, oh, you know him? I go, yeah, I've known him since high school. And then he goes, wow, that guy, his knowledge runs deep. He goes, this is deep knowledge.
He was impressed.
He was impressed because just everybody's chit-chatting and he's just giving information about Blade Runner, why he liked Blade Runner. And he was talking about the different, I think there was, he was talking about the different cut of
the movies.
The movie.
Yeah.
And he thought the certain cut, I forget which one, on Laserdisc is the best cut there is, right? And all this stuff. So in that case, I think people might respect your situation of being knowledgeable, so they might want to listen to you.
Well, the guy that you talked to that you know from the conventions, he was impressed with the
yes.
with the depth of knowledge, right?
Yes.
And also, David's really good at telling the story and he was trying to get people into the world, right? Immerse them in that world without making them read two pages of information.
Right,
or...
exactly. And it worked, right? Because he was, like, thoroughly impressed.
Yeah.
And he really liked the game. six. A lot depends on the group of players. Are they that interested in the genre that you are putting forward? For example, Jolene was found Shadowrun years ago. And I go, okay, yeah, I can run that. And it was very strange because sometimes in my big boy group, as Jolene used to call them, it was sometimes like pulling teeth trying to get them to play a new game. Oh, you got to learn a new system, whatever. But this time, like I go, oh, I'm going to run Shadowrun. So they went out and bought books, right? All the friends that I have. One friend was already really into it, right? He's like already knew about it. But then I was really surprised at how easy it was for them to start playing or get them to come to the table ready and have a little bit of knowledge of the game. Because they really loved the idea, right, of the setting.
Well, the boys took to the book like it was, like they had been born in that world. And I think a lot of it had to do with Jason really liking the game because he got Steve and the boys excited about it, too.
You're right. And he was very enthusiastic.
And very knowledgeable.
Right. So in that sense, sometimes some games are just easy sells.
And when whichever edition of Shadowrun you read, when you read the beginning pages about what being a runner is and that kind of stuff, it immerses you a little bit into that world. Just to make your character, you have to kind of know a little bit about what's going on, right?
Right. Sometimes if you're a lucky GM, the players are like, wow, this is really cool. And don't have to be begged to read, you know, they're just gonna buy the book and read it. Which is rare, but it does happen. And then I was going to talk about, depending on the game, right? So let's say shorter is usually better, but longer might be better depending on the game, your information disposition or dissemination.
And I would like to say that if you're going to do a longer explanation, I would break it down into chunks, maybe put it onto a piece of paper. Like, not a huge piece of paper, but like, give a paragraph of things so that as people are playing, as you're going through the first part of the game, the people that want to know more information can read it.
Right.
And the people who don't want to know more information can just set it aside and go with the way that they want to go.
Right, right. I was thinking more along the lines of the type of game, right? For we kind of talked about it last night, where if it's a game about spies.
Right.
You could say, oh, it's like James Bond world or Mission Impossible. Or it could be more like Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is more like has a 60s vibe. And it's not about killing and shooting things. It's about solving the mystery, right? So there's something easy things that you could say that will give you a pretty good explanation about what's going on. And you don't have to give too much of an explanation about the world or the genre. If an action game, oh, it's kind of like action movies.
The Bourne Identity?
The Bourne Identity. I was thinking more like Die Hard and stuff like that.
Oh,
Lethal
yeah.
Weapon. So immediately people can, oh, I see.
So you, if you give them a reference of a movie that they've seen, that's like what you're going to play.
Right. So there's not a whole lot of explanation. You don't have to go, there's not a lot of details that you got to give. But for example, and I wrote down something, I totally made up. There's no game like this. So, but if you make it, I won't. You got to credit me. So, like, compare a Lethal Weapon game. It's a game about being a cop and blah, blah, blah. Versus a mythic Victorian era game set in Istanbul.
Well, that has to be steampunk, right?
Well, it may or may not be. But obviously, some people may not even know where Istanbul is, right?
And they call it something else now.
No, or, it's not Istanbul. It used to be Constantinople.
I always call it Constantinople.
Used to be Constantinople.
Unless I call it Byzantium, then... People don't know what I'm talking about.
So obviously, there's a couple of things that people may not know. Like Victorian era. Some people may not know when Victorian era is. I'm not sure about it either. It's sometime in the past, right? 17 or 1800s. I don't know. When's Victorian era? I just threw that out there. And they may not know where Istanbul is. Or if they do know where Istanbul is, they go, well, what was going on in Istanbul at the, in that time period?
And my question would be, are there flying ships?
Zeppelins. So that game might take a little bit longer to explain the situation because people may not know a lot about that part of the world. They may not know a lot about that time period.
Right.
What I'm saying. So depending on your game, that would determine how much more information you need to give the players. Makes sense. And then you came up with this one at late last night. You said, like, you could give pre-gen characters, and when you give, or examples of characters, and then have info on the character sheet that you are using as examples or the pre-gens. So the pre-gens might have a little bit of background of your character.
Right.
And not everybody is going to need to know about your background, just the player playing it. And I think that was very interesting. And that's a different way of disseminating information, is like read it on your own time. And it matters to you and your character. So depending on the player, they may be more interested in knowing about the world, and they will read that blurb or that page behind the character sheet going, well, if you have time, read this about your character, background about your character, or maybe your family or your estate or whatever it is that you're playing.
Most role players and people that play tabletop role-playing games are going to read those because they want to know that stuff, right?
Right. They want as much information as possible to be able to play their character.
Right.
And if it's something that's...
And if it's specific to the character, yes. It's easier to... It's not like you're having to sit through a lecture for 30 minutes on the gods of this world and how it works.
Right. Because like some people go, well, that has nothing to do with my character. Why do I care?
But if your character has a household god that's very important to you as a player, right?
Right.
And you need this as part of the game.
And not only that, I think what worked for me when I was giving out those in my Tecmo game, when I was giving out those questions. Well, basically, I gave them a situation of what was going on, and then they answered a simple question at the end, yes or no. It was like that was information that only they knew about,
right?
Right, and so it just threw them into that mode of playing that character. It wasn't the player opening up this character sheet, this piece of paper. It was the character looking at, to me, it seems to me like they were really invested in the character simply because there was information in there that was only known by them.
Right.
And I think...
That always makes it more intriguing for people.
Yeah, role players are kind of greedy about information, I think. Because like if they know that it's something only they know, they're like, it's that secret, like, oh, I know what's going on, and other people don't.
When we played Alien, everybody had an agenda.
Yes. That's exactly it too. That's why I think it works so well, because everybody has an agenda, a secret agenda, and it changes from scene to scene, or it matters more or less from scene to scene. So I think when people read that secret agenda, oh, you need to do this, or you are trying to get this, or whatever that is in the game. And I think it worked really well, because every time I've run that game, people were like looking at that thing, and they would put the look, because it was on a little piece of paper that I typed up, and they would put it underneath the character sheet. And every once in a while, they'd pull it out and look at it. They're like, smile.
Well, because they were odd things, right? Like, like you have to take care, you have to make sure this person makes it, or you have to...
You're real concerned about this person's welfare.
Yeah.
Because of some reason. You're secretly in love with them or something.
Right.
And another one was, your brother is sick and needs money, so anything that would be valuable, you want to be able to pick up and...
You're addicted to a certain drug and you need to get to the med bay to get it.
Right. There was all kinds of things.
There were different things, right? Always make sure the pilot is safe or that kind of thing.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, that puts a different idea of not only do I not want to get killed by an alien or used as a breeding ground by an alien, I want to make sure that the pilot is safe the whole time.
Right. Well, you know, think about it. If you're in a spaceship, the pilot probably is a pretty important guy to keep alive.
Or you hate the company man, right? You know that's who he is, and that's true.
At least when you play him. So when you have a lot of information, I think it's very key for the GM to pick and choose what information is important for the players to know as play begins.
Right.
And as they explore the world, the universe that they're playing in, they can get more information and insert that information give them that information over time. And I think that is probably the best way to disseminate information, is over time as the characters learn stuff.
Versus that 45 minutes of the beginning of your game where your friends are going, why is he telling me all of this?
Yeah, especially if it's just like overall stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, they're like, does this really matter to my character? That, or is it important for me to know to play this game? So I think that that's the important part is, as a GM, you got to figure out what is important to the character and what isn't important to the character.
Right.
And then, therefore, some information is not needed to know, be known by the
player. Right away, right?
Right away.
So you don't have to tell them everything about this world before you start the game.
No matter how excited you are.
No matter how much you need to tell them this. I think that's important to know that. It's just because you are so excited about running this game and you need to give them all this information.
Right.
You don't have to do it all at once.
Not all at once.
Because a lot of people lose interest right away.
Right. And then you're just talking to yourself.
And your players are going, okay, when is he going to be done talking so we can start playing?
Yes.
And they're not listening to you.
Yes.
So if it's important, you may want to write it down for them. I'm just saying. Make bullet points and hand it out.
Yeah. I mean, anything other than just this long, drawn out.
You don't have to pontificate on everything. So, okay. There you go. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you have a good day.